18th verse and the 28th verse from chapter 4. So follow along and listen to God's holy word. Verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Then verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. That's the word of God. In the Pixar blockbuster Finding Nemo, Marlin, a clownfish, is searching for his son who was taken to Sydney, Australia. And when Marlin and Dory, his traveling companion, get to the harbor there in Sydney, they run into a horde of seagulls. And we all know that seagulls, in real life, are very much scavengers. They eat whatever they can. And the movie very brilliantly caricatures them. They know only one word, mine, mine. Whatever they see, that's what they say. Well, sadly, as humans, we can often demonstrate the same kind of mentality. God's blessed our country with great prosperity. We have what we need and pretty much have whatever we want. And over the generations, we've developed into very much a consumer-driven society. And what I mean by consumer is that we live our lives focused on what's going to make our own lives better, what will make us more comfortable, what will entertain us, what will make us feel better mentally, emotionally, and physically. It's all about me. What's in it for me? Well, this mentality impacts everything that we do. We buy more things out of convenience sake or because it makes us feel better. Reality depresses us, so in order to avoid it, we spend our time in our virtual worlds, in video games, or watching movies, or TV, or reading books, or listening to music, or really just staying busy so that we don't have to think about the things that get us down. We kill unwanted babies because they're an inconvenience. We're going to have to give more. What we have to give outweighs what we get. Same is true with marriage. We divorce when marriage requires us to sacrifice. The reason we work is so that we can play. We work for the weekends. We're a society that's perpetually church shopping. This plays itself out in church life. When we discover a church doesn't give us everything we want, we just move on because it's all about what I get out of it. How we use our spare time is driven by this mentality. Neil Postman, in his book Amusing Ourselves to Death, says that if there were a city that characterizes the American mentality today, it would be Las Vegas with its showgirls, slot machines, lights, and shows. It's a city filled with what will distract us or make us feel better or entertain us. We live in a society where greed thrives. Self-centeredness lives. We're very much like leeches, getting as much as we can for ourselves with about the same mentality as those seagulls in Finding Nemo, trying to get as much as we can for ourselves. Well, as Christians, we're to have a very different mentality. Paul urges us to not live like unbelievers who think that life is all about getting and doing whatever it takes to get it, but instead the Christian life is all about giving. Jesus gave, he gave it all for you and me, and now he calls us to give it all for him, for his kingdom and for his glory. Work so that you can give for the sake of the kingdom. Now in this section, Paul's very obviously dealing with a church that's filled with converts. They were living a pagan life, but now they've been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ through the gospel. And now, as those who have been called by God, changed by God, transformed by God, they are to live fundamentally different lives. And in this verse, he very simply says, stop stealing and work and give. At first read, it seems like this verse is very simply addressing the sin of stealing. Don't steal, but work. But actually, he's dealing with this much deeper issue. He's addressing the consumer mentality of his day. He's addressing this issue of greed and selfishness. And there are really two outworkings of this greed, this consumer mentality. The first one is stealing. You steal because you're greedy to have what belongs to someone else. Mine, mine. I want. Thieves are leeches on society just trying to get it, to get what they want. It's all about me. But there's also a second outworking to this kind of greed, this consumer mentality that strikes home to us perhaps more than the first. Instead of stealing to get what we want, we work to get what we want. We work in order to collect all the toys and get our gadgets and all the nice things so that I'm entertained or comfortable or occupied, so that I can feel happy and good. As Christians, we aren't to live either forms of this consumer mentality, either forms of this greedy life, whether stealing or working. So when you look at your life, what are the ways that you can see this consumer mentality break through the surface? How does it play out the most? Why do you have things? Why do you buy stuff? What's your mentality? Is it all about you? Now, this doesn't mean that we can't have luxuries. It's not about making a list of what you can and can't have. That's not it at all. But the question you have to wrestle with is, why do you have what you have? Why do you work? Why do you buy stuff? Why do you use your time the way you do? Is it about you? Is that how the consumer mentality plays out in your life? Well, the question then we have to ask is, what is it that's supposed to drive us in making the decisions on why we work and what we buy? Well, Paul answers this question saying, don't steal or work just so that you can have, but work so that you can give. He says, do honest work with your own hands so that you can share and give to those in need. As Christians, we are to be givers, not getters. And the reason why we should work is so that we can give. Well, you may remember giving a dollar to some guy because he asked you for it. This must mean that you're a giver. Well, it doesn't quite work that way. Just because you gave something to someone at some time in your life doesn't mean that you have this giving mentality. A giving mentality goes much deeper than just simply giving something to someone at some point. In fact, you can actually give a lot of things, but yet still do it with a consumer mentality. You can still be controlled by the consumer mentality. I can't tell you how many interviews I've heard when people give their time or donate something or give some money, and they do it when they're interviewed about it, they say they do it because it makes them feel good. I remember listening to an interview of a basketball player who went to a children's hospital to help some of the kids there. He spent his time and his money on behalf of these children. And he said, when asked why he does it, he says, when I do this, I can wake up in the morning and feel good about myself. Even though he was giving, and giving probably very generously, he was doing it so that he would feel better about himself in the morning. That's a consumer mentality. That's not a giver mentality. Real Christian giving is much bigger than just an outward form of giving, because it focuses not so much on what we give or how much we give, but rather on why we give. Why do we give? Why should we give? Why should you give your time or your money or your things? Well, as Christians, we are to give because we want to see the kingdom of Jesus Christ come here on earth in all its fullness. We're to give in order to meet the needs of the kingdom. In our passage, Paul says that we're to work so that we can give to those in need. We're to meet the needs of the kingdom, to give a foretaste of the kingdom by providing for those in need. So we're to seek first the kingdom of Christ in all we do. Seeking the kingdom of Christ doesn't simply mean that we want everyone to become a Christian, although that's definitely a big part of it. But desiring the kingdom to come here on earth means that we want absolutely every part of the world, every part of culture to function in the way that Christ intends it to function, how Christ created it to function. And so when we give with a Christian mentality, we are seeking to contribute to the kingdom of shalom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of shalom. Shalom is a Hebrew word that's used all throughout the Old Testament, and it's translated as in our Bibles as peace. But if you look it up in a concordance, it has a broad, comprehensive meaning. It's filled with fullness. It means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony. It's the absence of agitation and discord and anxiety and fighting. The kingdom of Christ is a kingdom of shalom. The life of shalom. The life of shalom is the abundant life that Jesus came to give on earth. To reverse the effects of sin, the devastation of sin, and to put everything back in order. And so we, as Christians, are to give in order to promote the shalom of the kingdom of Christ. So Paul's not saying that we're supposed to work just so that we can give money away as a good deed, feel good about ourselves. No, we're to work and to live with the mentality of giving in order to contribute to the shalom of the kingdom of Christ. That's why we give. Of course, the greatest example of one who gave everything for the sake of the kingdom is Christ himself. He's the greatest giver. When the whole world was devastated by sin, when we, our own lives, were devastated by sin, our lives were lost, we were enslaved, we needed a Savior. And Jesus came, and he gave it all, including his life, in order to establish his kingdom on earth. He came to give life, and to give it abundantly, to establish shalom. He came to bring peace and reconciliation, to reorder his creation, to make all things new, to give us new life, to fulfill a new covenant, to give a new song to sing, to bring a new heavens and a new earth. One author said that Jesus came to bring comprehensive cosmic renewal that flows from God's redemptive plan. And all throughout the life of Christ, we get to see small tastes of that renewal, where he reverses the effects of sin. He gives sight to the blind. The sick are made well. The poor are cared for. Those imprisoned by demons and sin and disease are set free. The hungry are fed. The dead are raised. And the gospel is preached and lives are transformed. Jesus is the King who gave himself to meet our greatest need in order to reestablish his kingdom of shalom, which was destroyed by sin. As those who have been remade, recreated through Jesus Christ, we now are to give our lives to see the earth renewed so that this world functions with the shalom that Jesus came to give. We've tasted of the shalom that Jesus Christ can give, and now we are workers of this shalom to work to see that completeness extend not only into our lives, but into the lives of others and into our community and all throughout this world in every possible way. Jesus gave himself to meet our needs by reestablishing the shalom of his kingdom. And now he calls us to have the same mentality, to give ourselves, to meet needs, to reestablish the shalom of his kingdom. So the question that this passage really urges us to think about is, how does my work contribute to the shalom of the kingdom of Christ? We're called to work and to give in order to bring about the shalom of the kingdom. So how does my work contribute to the shalom of Christ's kingdom? Well, the first thing that comes to mind in this passage, at least when I was reading it for the first time, is the issue of finances. Don't steal, but work so that you can give. Immediately, we think of the idea of working to make money in order to give financially. By working, we're able to earn a paycheck that enables us to give for the sake of the kingdom. The reality of the matter is that ministry takes money, takes a lot of money. There's a lot of money that goes through this church, comes from you, the givers, and then goes out to meet many needs throughout the community. The deacons use this money for supporting various ministries around the community. They also give a bit of financial help to people in this community who need it. It takes money to do these things, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to care for the poor. And the deacons strive to do that wisely, to bring real... They do it for the purpose of bringing real lasting shalom for the kingdom of Christ. Don't give money just so that you can wake up in the morning and feel good about yourself. But give money in a wise way to bring about the shalom of the kingdom of Christ. To support those ministries. To be a part of those ministries. To provide food for the hungry. To educate. To provide clean water for those who don't have it. We try to support ministries that bring an end to oppression, abortion and sex trafficking, things like that. Unjust work situations. And we particularly support those ministries that do so within the context of the gospel, who do it in the name of Christ, who share this hope, this gift through Christ. So do you have this giving mentality when it comes to finances? Are you a getter or a giver financially? Do you see your finances as a tool to further the kingdom of the shalom of Christ? Can you give more? Now we have to remember that it isn't just what you give toward, but this mentality needs to encompass all of our finances, everything that we have. The way we spend our money even should be done in a sense of giving. What we buy is meant to contribute to the shalom of the kingdom. So why do you buy things? When you buy things, do you have the kingdom in mind? When you buy a house or a car or video games or more shoes or get more TV channels, you have to ask yourself, why? Will this help contribute to the work of the kingdom? Will this help you be able to contribute to the kingdom? So we work in order to have money so that we can give and contribute to the shalom of the kingdom. With everything that we have. But giving financially isn't the only thing that it's not the only way. It's not even the primary way that our work contributes to the work of the kingdom. There's much more to work than just making money in order to give. And that's good news for a lot of us, because I'd say probably the majority of us, or maybe half of us at least, work but don't make any money when we work. You kids, you work at home, but you may not make money for that. Many of you students actually pay money in order to work so you can study. You mothers and fathers, you do a lot of work at home. Some of you part of the day, some of you all day long. And you don't get paid financially for that. So there must be a greater contribution to the kingdom than just making money through work. It's important to see that our work itself contributes to the shalom of the kingdom. It provides for needs. So whether you're a student, you're a stay-at-home mom, a garbage collector, a CEO of a major corporation, your work is meant to contribute to the shalom of the kingdom. You work in order to meet the needs of the kingdom, in order to establish that shalom. And I want to give you four ways that your work impacts the kingdom of Christ. I get these four categories from a book called God at Work by David Miller. It's a book about the history of how faith impacts work. The first way that our work contributes to the kingdom is through honesty. Or actually a better term would be ethics. Christian ethics. You're to demonstrate the shalom of Christ through Christian ethics where you work. You're to work as an example of integrity, not just in your own personal decisions, but working to see your company make good ethical decisions to reflect the shalom of Christ. You face dilemmas every day, to leave early, to call in sick when you're not really sick, to use company time for personal things, to neglect your kids, or to not do your homework, or to procrastinate. You have the decision to be honest and ethical in all that you do. And not only should these be personal decisions that you make, but you should be seeking how to change the workings of your company to produce to be ethical, to produce a good, honest product with honest promises, with honest advertising, with fair pay. I read a story of two women, both Christians, realtors, both of them realtors. They saw that buying a house was a big decision that could be very beneficial or very detrimental to an individual or a family. And so they committed themselves and held each other accountable to serve the people that God brought their way with integrity and honesty. Their priority was to serve them. They didn't make decisions based on the bottom line or who would give them the best commission. They didn't seek to just make a sale, but they sought to always give honest advice so that the buyer or the seller could make the best possible decision. One of those women said this, This is our high calling, to help people through this important process with integrity. That contributes to the kingdom of shalom. There's a great need for ethical business, for ethical dealings. And the more we do that, the more we contribute to this shalom of the kingdom of Christ. Are you doing your work ethically? Not just trying to get by. Are you seeking to bring good change where you work, whether at home or in a business? What are the small things you can do to promote those ethics in your life and in your business? Work to meet the ethical needs and to establish the shalom of Christ. So ethics or honesty, that's the first category of how your work contributes to the shalom of the kingdom. The second category is evangelism. Wherever we work, wherever you work, you're to be an intentional evangelist with those you work with, intentionally seeking to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't want to be content with just ethical business without Jesus Christ presented as the Redeemer. That doesn't bring shalom. Real shalom doesn't exist apart from Jesus Christ. And so it's essential to see Christ recognized as both the Savior and King of lives and businesses. Wherever you work. This includes things like developing friendships with unbelievers, being ready to give a reason for the hope that's in you, to share your testimony, being able to explain and articulate the gospel and why it's so dear to you and how it changed your life. It includes asking good questions, participating in or leading Bible studies there at the workplace, seeking to make the most of every opportunity. For you parents, this is very much a big part of your work as you seek to raise your children to know and love Jesus. You remind them of the gospel in all its facets. When you sit in your house and when you walk along the way, when you lie down and when you rise. How can you incorporate this more into the life of your home in training your children? Wherever we are, wherever we work, our work is to contribute to the witness of Jesus Christ, to see others bow to Him. Jim Gardner is a doctor just north of here in New Wilmington. Some of you were classmates with him in college, and he grew very serious about his faith here at Geneva. And when he became a doctor, he wanted to very intentionally share the gospel with his patients, people who maybe even are on the verge of death or are diagnosed with a terminal disease. He wanted to be able to share real hope. And so he joined a practice up north here in New Wilmington where he and the other doctors in his practice are very intentional to share the good news of the gospel with all their patients at very timely points in their lives. How can you work for the shalom, toward the shalom of the kingdom of Christ, through evangelism in your workplace? How can we encourage others in this task? Even at Geneva, how can you be a witness for Christ? Thinking that most of your coworkers are Christians, how can you still seek out to be a witness? We're to meet spiritual needs in order to establish the shalom of the kingdom. So that's the second category. The first category is ethics. The second is evangelism. The third category of how you're to use your work to meet the needs of the kingdom, to establish the shalom of the kingdom, is through the improvement of your work environment. Improving your work environment. The workplace, the school, the home, they can all be places where there are high levels of stress. It can be a place that totally drains you. A place where you're overwhelmed, totally exhausted. In these circumstances, there are high levels of turnover and burnout, even at home. And these are not healthy environments to live in. Well, to promote the shalom of the kingdom, we need to alter the environment that we work in so that it doesn't crush the spirit, but rather encourages and builds up and engages. Sometimes there are big things that need to change. Change in management style or communication or change in policy or change in discipline at home. What can you do to work toward those big changes? There are also little things that can create a good environment, a healthier environment to work in. Sometimes companies have a fitness center to work out at or they pay for their employees to have a membership. And some of you may not have that. But daily exercise, simple things like that can create a healthier place of work. Sometimes companies have contests to lighten the mood and to develop a sense of community. I heard a company have a contest for the biggest loser, who could lose the most weight. Or companies have done bulletin boards to acknowledge those who go the extra mile. Your work environment is a place where you spend the majority of your life. It needs to be a place where the shalom of Christ is realized, not a place of burning out. And in some of our places, we have lots of work to do because they're high-stress areas, places. What can you do to contribute to the improvement of the environment where you work, to establish the shalom of the kingdom, to meet those needs? So we seek to advance the shalom of the kingdom of God through biblical ethics, through evangelism, through improving the environment. And the fourth and last one is working to advance your field. Working to advance your field. All of us work in a field. The field of parenting, field of education, politics, science, business, law, communications, sales, web design, nursing, and everything else in society. All these fields were created by God to reflect His own glory. And so when justice is served in our courts, it shows the glory of our just God. Or when medical discoveries help promote health, it shows the glory and power of God. It contributes to the shalom of the kingdom. And so the more we do to advance our field or to alter the structure of business, to do things in a more glorifying way, it contributes to the completeness and shalom of the kingdom. So how we make bridges better, how to map out roads so that traffic flows better, how we can make a better procedure, produce a better product, how we can do it so it doesn't destroy the environment, so it's sustainable. How can you advance your field to make it function in the way that Christ intends it to function? Work to advance your field in order to establish the kingdom, the shalom of the kingdom. Your work matters. And God calls us to work so that we can give. So that we can contribute to the multifaceted needs of the kingdom. Oftentimes, though, we get stuck in this getting mentality. We forget this giving mentality. When we live with a get mentality, we do so because we've bought into some sort of lie. What's the lie that you bought into or that you have the tendency to buy into that makes you a consumer, more of a consumer than a giver? Sometimes we believe that our security rests in our finances or our job or our possessions rather than in God, and so we'll do whatever we can to keep those things, to not shake the boat. Or we believe that this life is supposed to be our best life now, rather than the life to come, seeing the life to come is our best life. And so in that way, we try to make this life as comfortable as possible, to avoid anything hard as much as possible, to avoid sacrifice. Or we're concerned about the future, and we're constantly just throwing our extra money into the future. It's good to save, but sometimes that dominates us, rather than resting in God. Or we're concerned about what others think about us, and we have to keep up with the Joneses and what they have the latest stuff, keep up a good impression rather than resting in our identity with Christ. What's the lie that you tend to believe in? What drives you to have a get mentality? And what squelches that give mentality? Christ is the only immovable security. Everything else comes and goes. Christ is our security, our rock. Rest in Him, trust in His promises, find your identity in Him, and it will free you from being a getter to a giver. And as a co-heir with Christ, you'll inherit the whole world, the new world. The whole world is ours. What are the lies you buy into? Uproot those lies. And find your security in Christ. In 1950, a man named John Searcy began selling car batteries in Dallas, Texas. After a couple of years of doing that, he ventured out to do his own business of selling batteries. And he started the Interstate Battery Systems. He was a Christian, and he sought to root his company in Christian principles. He sought to produce a very high-quality product, to offer great services, and to treat everyone with respect and dignity and honesty, including his workers, not just his customers. By the 1980s, Interstate batteries were being sold in all the states of the country, as well as a handful of countries around the world. John Searcy retired, and he left the company in the hands of a man named Norm Miller, who's now the president of Interstate Batteries. And it's grown into a billion-dollar business. If you look online at Interstate Batteries, you'll find the mission of this company. The mission of Interstate Batteries is this. Our mission is to glorify God as we supply our customers worldwide with top-quality, value-priced batteries, related electrical power source products, and distribution services. Further, our mission is to provide our partners and team members with opportunities which are profitable, rewarding, and growth-oriented. Interstate Batteries sees that work is not just work in order to give money. It's not just something you have to do in order to eke out a living. Work is not meant to get us to just live for the weekends, but it's to glorify God. Think about how Interstate Batteries, as a company, works toward the shalom of the kingdom. We talked about finances. Financially, they donate products and money toward various causes or disaster relief areas. Ethics. Interstate Batteries continues the reputation of honest, biblical ethics, treating customers and employees with respect and dignity as image bearers. Evangelism. If you look on the website, you'll find Norm Miller's testimony. And you can read the testimony of his conversion to Christ, a clear explanation of the gospel, and a call to repentance and faith. They seek to be evangelistic. Improving the work environment. Last year, it was voted as one of the top 100 places to work in the country. They created a good, healthy working environment, or seek to do that. Advancement. In the description of their work, it says that they seek to promote the innovation of in this area for the glory of God. They seek to advance their sphere, that area of work, their field. This is one of many examples of Christians who work in order to establish the kingdom of shalom, the kingdom of Christ. Christ gave Himself, everything, to meet our needs And now he calls us to use this new life to seek first the shalom of his kingdom in all that we do. To seek first the shalom of his kingdom. How are you doing that in your work? What are the things that you need to do? Many of you are working in very hard environments. And it's daunting, a big task, and you're overwhelmed by it. What's a small step that you can make, that you can take to meet a need of the kingdom, to establish this shalom? Seek first the kingdom of God in your work, and God will be glorified. His kingdom will come, and Jesus will be recognized. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for calling us into this service. That we're not just spinning our wheels here waiting to get to heaven, but you've called us to this task of seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. We confess that we oftentimes have a consumer mentality where we are trying to get as much for ourselves as we can, trying to just be comfortable. But help us to follow in your steps, to give up everything, to give everything for your kingdom. Be with us as we work in various places in this world, whether at home or out in the field, out in society. Help us to see our work as important and valuable for your kingdom. And show us the steps that we can take to contribute to the needs of society, to contribute to the needs of the kingdom, and to contribute to the shalom of Christ. Use us for your glory. Help us to be diligent in this task. And have your name be honored. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.